Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. To start your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Adventures with Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And this week we're talking about young adult fiction. Recently, John Grisham has released the third book in his Theodore Boone series, which is aimed at younger readers, and Philippa Gregory has released Changeling, the first in a new series of historical books aimed at teen readers. We're wondering, what is the appeal of young adult fiction to both writers and readers? What are the big names and the hidden gems? And what should we be looking out for in the future?
Okay, I think before we look at the future of young adult fiction, we need to look back at where it's actually come from, a bit of its history. So I think probably the first examples of young adult fiction were things like What Katie Did by Susan Coolidge, Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain, Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, those type of books, which were American, and they were really sort of how to grow up manuals.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were some series there as well, and as the characters grew up, they faced different sort of challenges from society, and then that was sort of an example to the readers of how perhaps they would behave in the same position. And then you also had The Diary of Anne Frank, which once it was released was obviously something written by a 13-year-old girl, and her audience was essentially herself, or in other words, any other 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But for a long time, those were really the only books aimed at people of that age, mostly aimed at girls as well. And then the more the sort of beginning of the modern version of teen fiction or young adult fiction were really writers like Judy Bloom and Anne Fine, who were writing in the 80s, again very much aimed at girls and very much focused on kind of growing up issues, teen issues,
teenage issues. Yes.
Yeah.
But now they seem to have branched out into sort of every genre that there is.
Yeah, so rather than young adult being a genre in itself, now what we get is young adult examples of all the other genres, but sort of particularly concentrated in kind of science fiction, fantasy, historical fiction, horror, and also this kind of new genre of dark romance, which has sort of been created by the Twilight phenomenon.
Well, when I was at school, and particularly sort of primary into secondary, I don't really remember reading anything sort of young adult. We sort of used to read things like Douglas Adams and Stephen King, which obviously weren't aimed at us.
Things like Terry Pratchett as well.
And they actually made us feel more grown up. These sort of...
Yeah, definitely.
We used to read them quite secretly, especially something like Hitchhikers, which had its sort of sweary moments and quite rude jokes. Hiding those from our parents did make us feel more adult, as opposed to books that were purely aimed at us.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's obviously nothing wrong with sort of teenagers reading books essentially written for grown-ups, because it kind of develops the way in which you're reading. You become a more sophisticated reader. But I think actually what's happened recently is that young adult fiction has become a lot more sophisticated, where it's branched out into being an example within another genre. It's just that the characters tend to be younger, but they're still facing the same challenges. The quality of the writing doesn't tend to be any poorer. In fact, sometimes it's actually a higher quality of writing because of the way that something might have to be explained or referenced differently.
Yeah.
So where we kind of get that starting to happen was really more into the 90s. So this is why I think it almost passed us by a little bit.
Yeah.
You had writers like Susan Cooper, Gillian Cross, Margaret Mahe, Philippa Pierce, who wrote Tom's Midnight Garden, which possibly is a little bit at the younger end of this, and as well sort of Goodnight Mr. Tom by Michelle McGorian. But then you also had Melvyn Burgess, who is a relation of Anthony Burgess of Clockwork Orange fame, writing something like Junk, which is actually about teenage drug addicts. It's very hard hitting and definitely for kind of 15 to 16 year olds. But that's really quite sophisticated.
Yeah.
And then we get into the 2000s and the sort of 2010s, whatever you want to call it, which is the kind of big series era. And obviously you've got something like Harry Potter, which
course,
is a massive, massive series. You've got the Stormbreaker series, with Alex Rider, and then also the Power of Five series by Anthony Horowitz, Artemis Fowl by Ewan Colfer, Percy Jackson. You've got the Young Bond series and more recently the Enemy series by Charlie Higson. Twilight, of course, his Dark Materials and the Ruby in the Smoke series. That's the kind of Victorian series from Philip Pullman. And most recently, The Hunger Games.
Which has been a big seller.
A massive success.
Oh, yes. So a lot of these series, though, have crossed over.
Yeah.
Well, Harry Potter, obviously, is the big one. Twilight, his Dark Materials, and now The Hunger Games.
Yeah, so they're not actually just being read by young adults who were the original audience. They're being read by adults as well, be that parents or quite often just grown-ups picking them up individually.
Well, with Harry Potter, they did entirely different covers.
Yeah.
The book was the
marketed
same inside,
them
but
differently. Yeah, yes. Definitely. And I noticed that The Hunger Games, there are two different covers. There are the kind of shiny metallic ones, and then there are the plainer black ones. And I don't know if that's the same or whether that's just tying in with the film.
I think it's a bit of both. I've seen about three different covers, actually. Mm-hmm. Now, looking back at the list of those that we've just spoken about, all of those are part of a series. There's no one book there to stand on its own.
No.
Harry Potter, you've got, is it seven?
Yep, seven. One for each of the years of secondary and sixth form.
The same with Young Bond as well. There's five there.
Yep.
So what is it about these books that are always in a series?
Well, I think part of it is the characters growing up, because where you've got younger characters, obviously they'll face different challenges, as you know, and for young adults to appreciate them, they need to see the similar kind of challenges that they face, which will obviously change as they get older. So I think that's probably part of it.
Yeah. So with Harry Potter, you know, book one, he's starting in year seven.
Yeah, in his first year at school. Yeah.
His first year at school. And then it progresses through, following him through the years, you know, up through into what would be sixth form, I suppose.
Yep.
Ending with him going out into the big wide world and fending for himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as he gets older and sort of learns more as a wizard and gets older as a teenager, obviously the kind of wizarding challenges that he faces get more dangerous, more serious. The threat from Voldemort grows with each book. But then also there are things like, I think it's in book three, he's got to choose who to go to the ball with, and all of this sort of business. And you get the kind of relationship stuff creeping in. You get the kind of Ron Hermione tension increasing. You get the stuff with Ginny Weasley, with her fancying Harry and so on, which obviously in the first book where they're all 11 and 12 is not really the focus. And as they get older, you see the sort of characters' concerns mirroring the kind of thing that really does happen to teenagers. And I think the other thing is that where you're looking at younger people and younger readers, they do like familiarity, and the same can be said for older readers as well. But particularly young people like to have a set of characters, and you can see that with very young children's books, things like The Little Grey Rabbit and things like that, those sort of younger, very young series where you've got the same characters doing things each time. Well, older people like that familiarity as well, although the problem with that can be, particularly where perhaps it's boys and they're not particularly keen readers anyway, they will only read this particular series of book and they seem to have no interest in anything else.
So when they finish one book, as it's part of a series, they can then go straight on to the next one?
Yep, they can do, but they might not branch out beyond that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a positive. They want to keep reading the series. But if they're not going to be branching out outside the series, then perhaps it ends up being more of a kind of money-making scheme for some authors, kind of wheeling out the next one. Or, you know, perhaps there are certain authors where I only read this person. You get it with young teenage girls with Jacqueline Wilson, where they will read every Jacqueline Wilson book they can get their hands on. But then once they've read all of them, they seem to get stuck. They don't know where else to go.
Right, I see. Yes.
I think it could also be to do with how successful and how appealing some of these big name series are. For example, the Alex Rider books by Anthony Horowitz. Now, they've been incredibly successful.
Yes, they have, yeah.
And there was a big demand for more Alex Rider stories, to the point where Anthony Horowitz told his publishers to stop forwarding male asking where the next book was coming from because there was so much pressure from readers, and he'd just run out of Alex Rider stories at that point.
Right,
it's not to say he won't write another one in the future, but obviously he had other things to do. He was sort of writing the Power of Five series. He's obviously written the House of Silk, the Sherlock Holmes story for adult readers. So he just, I don't think he had time and hadn't had any more ideas for Alex Rider. So there is that big clamour for the books as well.
So it's the big successes, the big hits. Those are the ones that have appealed to adults as well as children.
Yeah, the Harry Potters, the Twilights, the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that you've got probably just as many adults going in and picking up. You see the people reading them on the train on the way to work.
Oh, yes. So why do we think that this is? What is it that some of these books that are primarily, from the start, aimed as young adult books, but they appeal to the adults as well?
I think a lot of it's got to do with the very universal themes that come through with these books. In Harry Potter, it's very archetypal, almost kind of mythical, good versus evil story. You're really rooting for Harry and Ron and Hermione against all the odds at some points, apparently. Yeah. They're really interesting characters. They're very lovingly drawn. I mean, when I read the first Harry Potter book, I wasn't overawed by necessarily the quality of it, but I was hooked by the characters and I kept reading and the books got better and better and I really enjoyed them by the end of it. I really thought the last one was fantastic.
Oh, they definitely got better as they went on. But knew
from the start, the characterisation was there and that's what got me into it. That's what really I enjoyed about it. And also that kind of really ancient kind of good versus evil thing. As you say, it's almost this kind of mythic thing, or, you know, going back to Greek myths or King Arthur or whatever it is, you're really rooting for him. And then, you know, with the Twilight books, it's not quite as deep as that, perhaps, but you've got a love triangle. And in this case, it happens to be with a vampire on one corner of it and a werewolf on the other. But it's essentially a book about relationships and a book about conflict and trying to resolve that and trying to have a happy ending. And I mean, that's one of the most basic stories there is.
And these are all characters and themes that whether you're young or old, you can find yourself relating it to.
Yeah, I mean, all of those sort of three or four that we picked out, Harry Potter, Twilight, Hunger Games, possibly his Dark Materials, they're all things that are pretty timeless in terms of what they're talking about. I don't think it's going to matter if you're reading them as they're published or if you're reading them 20 years later or maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to hold up. Are there any young adult books that you've really enjoyed reading?
Well, I've read The Young Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned it before on here. I am a big James Bond fan. I grew up reading the adult Bonds.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually allowed to read them early on, so I used to sneak them off my dad's shelf and read those.
Yep, some of it is quite grown up.
Yes, possibly the films, which I was allowed to watch, certainly dealt with more...
Full of innuendo.
Full of innuendo, full of violence.
Yep.
Whereas the books, obviously, when they were written, they do seem quite tame now. But when Young Bond came out, I was a little bit sceptical at first.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Written by Charlie Higson, who at the time was known purely as a comedian, writing The Far Show. So it was a little bit with trepidation that I bought the first Young Bond, but I loved it.
Mm.
I thought, and as a young adult book dealing about a young Bond, the fit was there. It worked. And I went on to read, you know, it's a series once again, and I went on to read all five.
I have to say, I really enjoyed them as well. I thought... Charlie Higson's writing style was spot on. It worked really well. There was enough that was Bond-esque about it, but there was also enough that was very up-to-date, very sort of fast-paced, very exciting. And I think it would appeal to sort of teenage readers and also older readers as well. I thought they were really good adventure stories.
They were. They fitted, you know, the Bond formula. I recognised the character.
Yeah.
It was really good fun, and I'm, you know, it's a shame that there aren't going to be any more written by him.
Yeah, that is a bit of a shame, actually. Although it's because he's concentrating on a new sort of zombie series. There's three of them that have been released so far, and I know there is a fourth one on the way.
I am tempted to pick those up, actually.
I've quite enjoyed those. I went on to read those because there were no more Young Bonds, and they're actually pretty scary. I would hesitate to recommend them to young adults because they're the kind of things you need to read in the daylight with all the lights on.
Well, I'm going to try the new John Grisham series. Hodder have kindly sent me the first three, Theodore Boone, which is Half the Man, Twice the Lawyer.
Excellent. Although that's worryingly reminiscent of Doogie Howser,
MD. Yes, I did think that when I picked those up. Now, I read John Grisham once again when I was growing up. And
Adventures.
Yeah, it's the plots that always used to get me. Yeah. They're good page turners. So I'm hoping that if he's written, you know, the same good plots with the page turners, it doesn't really matter what age group or the age of the characters.
No.
So, yeah, I'm quite looking forward to those.
So do you know anything about Theodore Boone?
Well, I know that he's 13 years old and he's living in America and that his parents they're either lawyers or they're involved in something in the court. And in the first book, he finds himself in the middle of a murder trial. A killer's about to go free and only he sort of knows the truth of what really happens. So he's not, I don't think he's necessarily standing there representing himself or
no.
He's, you know, he is a lawyer. I think that he's, you know, in this case, he is a witness, but it's, you know, the whole judicial system is working around him.
Right.
So I think that's quite interesting. It does sound like a traditional Grisham plot, but it just happens to have a slightly younger character in.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot of potential.
Yes, I do. And I'm, you know, so I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll go on to read the rest of them and they'll be just as good.
Yeah, and we've already mentioned the Enemy series by Charlie Higson. Darren Shan has got a zombie young adult book coming out soon that I believe is just called Zom and then the dash B.
Mm-hmm.
I presume you just call it Zombie. I mean, he's a very established young adult author already. He's written a lot of predominantly kind of horror light type
supernatural
books.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of supernatural monsters, vampires, etc., etc. That kind of style. I did wonder a little bit when I saw this whether it was going to be a bit similar to Charlie Higson's books.
Mm.
And it does seem to have that similar idea, purely because it is teenagers versus zombies.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know, Charlie Higson did that so well. You know, I really do think those were excellent books. And the way that, you know, he puts across the voice of the teenagers, I could easily believe it was a teenager speaking. I'm not quite sure about the dialogue in the Darren Shan book. But it seems like quite an interesting story. I'm quite intrigued from the way that it starts. Obviously, I won't tell you the end, but the way it begins is with a small village in Ireland being overrun by zombies out of nowhere.
Mm.
No explanation. A small boy wakes up to screaming, comes out, sees his mum eating his dad's brain,
as you do.
Runs away at the top of the high street, finds this guy really quite strange looking, but none of the zombies are going anywhere near him, so asks him for help. The guy says, I will help you, you've got to kneel down and say a prayer. Thinks to himself, he doesn't have much time to help this boy before the monsters get him, leans down and snaps his neck.
All right, so it's a lovely start then.
Yeah, so a pleasant, uplifting start. But then we cut to London, a group of teenage friends, and I won't say anything more, but it's a really intriguing beginning. You know, who is this guy? Where have they come from? So it's, you know, setting up all the questions, and I can see there might be some kind of Attack the Block style sort of East End monster bashing on the cards.
And it's the first in a series.
It is.
Funny that, isn't it? Funny,
yeah. We're seeing a trend.
So once I've finished my John Grisham, are there any hidden gems or any other ones that I should be looking out for?
Well, there are a few things that I've read, which are a young adult, but I think haven't got quite as far onto the radar. They haven't necessarily made the crossover to a lot of adults reading them. But these are all things that young adults do read. And, you know, particularly these first few have been really successful. The first one is Mortal Engines by Philip Reeve. That is, funnily enough, the first in the series.
Right, yep.
There are four, not three, there's four in the main series. And then there've been two kind of spin-off books, which don't follow the same set of characters, but they kind of pick out situations just before and after.
Yeah, I see.
If you like steampunk, then Mortal Engines is for you.
All
it's
right.
A kind of post-apocalyptic, there's been a big, you assume, some kind of nuclear robot-linked war or something. It's never made 100% clear because we're way, way in the future. And at this point, the technology and most of it has been lost. We're back to kind of futuristic but basic kind of almost clockwork type technology, steam engines, things like this. And because the state of the earth is so bad, cities actually move around. London is London, essentially. You can kind of recognize features from London as it is now, but it's sitting on a massive set of wheels. And they describe the kind of bigger cities, you have to be aware of some of them because they will capture smaller ones and kind of cannibalize the parts of the smaller cities. And those people who live on that city will lose their home. They'll have to become part of the bigger one and so on. It's a really interesting concept, which is why it's called Mortal Engines, because it's like the idea of the city being alive but also being deadly.
Yes.
And so it's sort of set in this city. It's again, it's sort of based with a relatively young teenage protagonist. It's to do with kind of finding out their future, what's going to happen to them, fighting particularly these kind of scary robot warrior things that pop up. There's this robot warrior called Shrike, who is a really scary enemy, and it's really, really interesting. The whole concept I think is great, and they're really good adventure stories as well. It goes all over the world. It's quite a, as I say, kind of post-apocalyptic. What have humans done to the world? This is how we're having to survive now. It's a really, really good concept.
There is one I've heard of called Noughts and Crosses.
That's a kind of almost pre-Hunger Games series. It is a series again.
Right.
I think there's four of those again. I don't know if there might be another one. But the first one is called Noughts and Crosses. It's by Mallory Blackman. And in Noughts and Crosses, I'm not sure if it's the future or if it's a kind of alternative Earth. But it's pretty much America, but it's the black people who are the majority and the white people who are the minority.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it kind of flips your expectations. It deals with issues of racism, issues of terrorism, also issues of interracial relationships, some quite dark things, even sort of towards things like rape, amongst sort of lighter, kind of more romantic themes. It's quite political. That's a really interesting one. I really enjoyed those books. They're very well written as well, considering the kind of sensitivity of the subject matter. And I think those are ones that kind of all young people should be reading, particularly ones who might need their horizons broadened a little bit. And they're really good adult read as well, because there's so few adult books that are brave enough to deal with those sort of issues. Now, the other couple that I've chosen are possibly ones where, if you've ever been a teacher, you've probably read it to a class or taught it to a class, but not many adults apart from that have read them. But I think they're really great books. One of them is Holes by, now I'm not sure how you say his surname, Louis Sachar, one or the other.
Wasn't this made into a film?
Yeah, Disney made it into a film, I think 5 or 6 years ago.
With, I do vaguely remember that.
Shia LaBeouf as the main character, Stanley Yelnats. This is always a bit bizarre because in the book, at the beginning, Stanley Yelnats is supposed to be incredibly fat. It makes quite a point at the beginning about the way he's bullied because of his weight. And obviously, Shia LaBeouf is not fat. I think Disney just decided that they couldn't have a fat hero, and just kind of completely remove that bit from the book. Because a lot of the book is as he goes on doing what he's doing, digging holes in a kind of youth detention center, hence the name of the book. He becomes stronger, he becomes more independent, he slims down, he sort of takes control of himself.
Right,
and that's actually part of the storyline. So it's a bit of a shame that Disney decided
to ignore that. So the main point seems to have just been removed.
Well, it's half the story, because half of it is about Stanley, but the reason why he's digging the holes is also gradually revealed. And that links back to someone called Kissing Kate Barlow, who is an outlaw. But before she was an outlaw, she was a school teacher. And she was run out of town because of her relationship with Sam the Onion Man, who was black.
Right.
So again, it's that kind of race issue coming up, but I think it's so well written. It's a very funny book. It's also quite tragic in places, but it's a fun adventure. It goes into kind of interesting, sort of slightly fantastical territory at one point. But it's, so it's quite an interesting combination of, on the one hand, almost quite gritty realism, and on the other hand, a bit of comedy and also a bit of sort of fantasy. So a little bit magical in places.
All right, yeah.
And then the final one that I've chosen is Private Peaceful by Michael Morpurgo, hero of Warhorse fame.
Yep.
Now, I mean, he's kind of known for a lot of his books which are read at primary school. Private Peaceful is a bit more grown up than that. If I was going to choose one of his World War I books or World War books to dramatize, I would have gone for Private Peaceful rather than Warhorse.
So why is that then?
I think it's just such a beautiful story. It's, on the one hand, a diary where Private Peaceful himself, a soldier, is thinking about what is about to happen to him, which isn't revealed. You just know that something is going to happen to him. But he also then goes back and distracts himself by thinking about his youth growing up in the sort of beautiful English countryside before the First World War. It goes through all his experiences, focuses a lot on his family life. And it's just such a dramatic, emotional portrayal of growing up and then how you're, you know, effectively still your youth is completely interrupted by just this devastating experience. It's a, I think, a fantastic portrayal for young people of a relatively young person having to cope with the realities of war.
Well, I certainly like the sound of Mortal Engines. That just sounds like such a fantastic idea of two cities or cities sort of moving around. I think I might look out for that one then.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
So when we were discussing Stormbreaker and the Power of Five series by Anthony Horowitz, you obviously mentioned that he went on to write the most recent Sherlock Holmes book.
Yes, The House of Silk.
Yeah.
That was out at Christmas, I think.
He's obviously made the move from teenage books into adult.
Yeah.
And obviously the big one is J.K. Rowling's new book out in September, which The Casual Vacancy.
Yeah, big news.
Which is a adult book. So why do you think it is that these writers who've been aiming their work primarily at teenagers is now making that move into adult fiction?
I think part of it could be to do with prestige, that being successful as a young adult writer just doesn't have the same cachet as being a successful fiction writer, you know, without that kind of young adult tag. So I think that could be part of it. I think as well, perhaps with J.K. Rowling, a lot of Harry Potter books were read out loud by adults to their children, and so the adults have actually sort of enjoyed her writing anyway, because she's one of these kind of crossover writers, as we were saying, and so now she's just writing for them specifically.
Also, I suppose people who are reading Harry Potter in their teens have now grown up.
Yeah, very true. I mean, the first Harry Potter book must have been out, you know, what, year 2000, something like that?
I'm trying to think when I first read them, and I came to it quite late. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's sort of 2000 at the latest. So, yeah, those people, if you were 11 then, oh, God, yeah. So
well,
you're sort of 23 or whatever now. So you are an adult. And if you want to read another J.K. Rowling because she was your favourite author when you were 13, 14, then now you have something for you at your current age.
Yeah, and her books are still selling, and yet she's still tapping into a whole new market with her books.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And it, you know, makes sense from that point of view as well. You've got someone like Ewan Colfer, who wrote the Artemis Fowl series, which has been incredibly successful for young adults. He also wrote Plugged. He also wrote And Another Thing, which was another Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book, kind of carrying on and also trying to tie up some of the loose ends. So he's made that jump, and it does seem, you know, he's sort of trying out a new market.
Well, for him, especially with the last Artemis Fowl due out in July.
Yeah.
It's a way of opening up new avenues of writing, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to trying out the John Grisham Young Adults and also Mortal Engines. But is there anything you're looking forward to in the future?
And I'm really quite excited about this last Artemis Fowl book, especially as this is going to be the final one. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm very much looking forward to the next in the Enemy series by Charlie Higson. I'm not sure if there will be any more after that either, because it does seem to be kind of filling in all the gaps now.
Mm.
And I think I might also give The Changeling a go by Philippa Gregory, because I do enjoy the sort of historical novels. So I might give that a go, see what it's like.
Well, you never know.
Well, that's about it from us. But we'd love to know what you think about young adult fiction. Do you have any particular favourites? Is there anything we haven't mentioned and you think we should? Or do you completely disagree with anything that we've said, which you might well do? You can get in touch with us in a variety of ways. We're at Word Adventures on Twitter. You can like our Facebook page and leave a comment there. You can go to the blog, which is www.adventureswithwords.com. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And thanks for listening.
Adventures with Words is brought to you by Audible. Try Audible free for 30 days and download any audiobook for free. To start your free trial, go to www.adventureswithwords.com/audible.